You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hi everyone, I am Martin Acuna and you're listening to Backstage Talk. Welcome back everyone to another episode of Backstage Talk. Today, I will repeat this again. My inner child is fanboying really hard right now. I think in the first episode I mentioned that I was a Potterhead, a Harry Potter fan, and today I have the honor of having someone from the company of Cursed Child on Broadway with me. I have the honor of having Spencer LaRue. He is a musical theater performer. But who am I to introduce someone better than themselves? So Spencer, please introduce yourself and say hello to our listeners.
Hi, listeners. Hi, everyone. Thanks, Martin, for having me. Yeah, my name is Spencer LaRue, and I am part of the year three, which might turn into year four, I guess, at this point, after being on pause for a year. Year three cast of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child on Broadway. I am originally from Florida and grew up doing sports and then decided I wanted to do theater. Sports were not it for me. I went to the University of Michigan for musical theater and graduated in 2019. And then January 2020, I started Harry Potter. So that's like crazy stuff.
Yeah. So wait a minute. Was your story a little bit like High School Musical and Troy Bolton? Change from sports into theater?
yeah, I guess so. I was not as good as him, and I was not the captain of any team. I was playing bench most of the time. I played soccer, and I was a swimmer. I played everything, but those were my main two things. And I played soccer until ninth grade of high school. I did all of the, practice leading up to our first game, played our first game, had to leave early to get to a show and that I was also doing at the same time. And then after that show that night, I quit soccer for good after playing for 11 or 12 years at that point. I had been playing for a long time. And I was like, all right, this is not for me anymore. This was fun while it lasted. I no longer want to run and get sweaty. I'd rather be dancing in the air conditioning and getting sweaty. The sunlight is not it for me. I was like, get me inside. And then I found, I found theater throughout, but I auditioned for an arts high school where I got, it's called Harrison School for the Arts in Lakeland, Florida. And I got to major in musical theater, and that was integrated into my academic study. And that's when I was like, okay, cool. I don't need anything else. I'm just going to do the theater route. And I think that's going to fulfill me.
I love it. I love it. That is so amazing. What inspired you to be a performer? Once you were on this arts high school, did something happen and you said, yes, this is the route I want to take?
Yeah. I actually had to write about this in my, entrance essays to get into schools, but I distinctly remember it was my junior year, I think, and I kind of knew that I wanted to audition for schools and everything, but my junior year I saw the national tour of Once, and during the, or like before the show and intermission, they allow you to come up onto the stage, because the whole show takes place in a bar, and so they sell drinks before and after, and like, 17 couldn't drink, but like I was like, I'm going on that stage. And I walked up there with my friend, and I turned around and I just saw this like 5,000 seat theater, and like I just stood there and I could see the lights like go dark and like a curtain rise, and I was like, okay, yeah, this is I feel at home right here, standing center stage. I was like, I'm gonna do this. This is it for me. And then, crazy full circle moment, the weekend I got into Michigan for musical theater, I was back at that theater, but this time I was performing on the stage because I won the Critics' Choice Award at District Thespians, which is a national competition. And I was invited to perform my song at States at opening ceremonies. So I literally stood where I like had that moment and actually got to like sing Spotlight in front of 5,000 people, and then went to college a few months later. So that was like a full circle moment for me.
I love it. I love the memory.
I
Who doesn't love a full circle moment?
know. I actually just put that together right now, to be honest. I like realized that was full circle. That's really cool.
Love it. Like, I mean, having full circle moments are, I mean, it's really important for performers, wherever they are. So you've had several productions of Newsies. You've had Disaster, you've had Sweeney Todd, you've had Oklahoma. What has been your favorite moments performing so far?
Oh, I think it would have to be, so I did Disaster and my second production of Newsies in the same summer, the summer of 2018, at on opposite coasts. I was in Connecticut for Disaster and then California for Newsies, a week after I closed Disaster. And I think those two productions might be my favorite, like hold really special memories for me. My rehearsal process for Disaster was rough, to say the least, because I was coming off an energy or an injury, not an energy. The energy was weird. No, I was coming off an injury, and so I was like trying to like not push it in Disaster so I could go do Newsies, where I knew I would have to be dancing and tumbling a lot, and I knew I had to be at the top of my game. But I got to do Disaster in Connecticut with Seth Rudetsky, who wrote the show. He was in it. And then Annelle Nathan was in the show, who was an original cast member of Ragtime and Thoroughly Modern Millie. Angie Schwor, who was in the original Producers and was just in the prom, like these huge names, and just getting to perform with them every night and like witness their craft, and like then off stage, they're so sweet and so nice. And they're just like, I'm chilling in Connecticut for the summer, doing a job. And then, but the show, and I also was doing it with like five of my class members from Michigan, and we all were just partying. It was a party on stage dancing to disco music. And it was one of the funniest, well-written shows I've ever done. I mean, it is just silly. And the second we all embraced that, like, disaster movie type of like performing, it was the silliest show, and it was hard, but it was, and it was a challenge, but it was like so worth it in the end. And then I then went to Newsies, which is I that's also something that like really got me. I was like, I want to do this career. I want to dance like that. I want to be a Newsie. And it was my goal from like 11th grade to be in a production of Newsies. And then my sophomore year, I was in a production in Connecticut. And I was like, that like filled the bubble. But then I got cast in this one in California the next summer and found out we were doing the original choreography with the original dance captain, at one of the like top regional theaters in the country. And I was like, I'm just honored to be here. I don't know how I got here. I don't think I'm at the level of everyone, but I'm going to take it and run with it. And it, I mean, it was incredible. And it was, we were doing it in the round, which I have never done a show in the round. And then to be doing Newsies, originally the original choreography in the round, I was just, I mean, in shock the whole time. It was, that might be my favorite show I've ever done. Because I just love that music. I love the dancing. The people were fun. California is beautiful. I mean, yeah, that performing in the round is a whole different beast. I remember one day I had to run from like down the aisle to the center of the stage, do like a triple turn, and then a jump out of it and run down the aisle directly across from me. And I, it was the first day they turned the lights off. It was the first day they took our numbers away. And I did what I was supposed to do. I stopped in the middle of the stage. Set was coming at me and everything. I was like, I don't know where to go. And I just kind of like ran towards the center. And like there was, the aisles were like going off in corners of like what would be a square. And then like the stage is the circle around it. And I just, I didn't even run for an aisle. I just kind of like ran towards the edge of the stage and like hopped off. And like ran through the audience. Luckily nobody was there, but I was like, I'm just gonna get off stage, but I'm so turned around and I don't know, it is so dark. But I didn't die, so that's, I mean, that's good, I guess.
That's a nice memory. I didn't die.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about regional theater before moving on to Cursed Child. What has been the biggest lesson you've learned as a performer?
It's absolutely to, like, you know your worth. I might say that a lot today, but that's something I've kind of worked with during pandemic time. But to know your worth in rehearsals, especially regionally. My first two regional contracts, I was non-equity. Working with equity actors, it was a mix. And non-equity means I'm not protected by the union. I don't have to have certain breaks. I don't have to have certain things happen. They technically could rehearse me all day if they were monsters. And luckily, they were not monsters. But the biggest lesson I learned is no matter what kind of rehearsal you're in, you have to know your worth and what is where your limits are. And how to convey that to the creative team without, you know, coming off as someone who's hard to work with or has a big ego, or like you want people to want to work with you. And my time at Disaster during rehearsals was a little rough, because I was excited to go do Newsies, and so when I was there, I was just like, let's do the show. But I was also injured, so I wasn't, like, in rehearsals, I wasn't dancing full out all the time. And I, like, if we needed to do it, I would do it. But I was then being expected and, like, getting told, like, why aren't you doing this full out? You should do this full out. And I'm like, I am hurting. Mm-hmm. I have just, like, I was on crutches for a week in college, not 6 months ago, and have been in physical therapy until the week before I came here. Like, let me breathe. And it just, there was a lot of butting heads, and that taught me to just, like, no matter what, they have to treat you like a human, and no one, sometimes that's not on their radar, and they're not doing it on purpose. It's never with malicious intent. They're just like, we have 3 weeks to put up a show, and we gotta go. And if you're not in the union, you have to advocate for yourself. And I learned that my name was being misspelled, and I told them multiple times it was being misspelled. And at one point it was just, there was an extra space in my last name, which is LaRue, and it has two capital letters. So it was just LA space RUE. And I was like, oh, my name's spelled wrong. And I was called a diva by stage management. And I was like, so no, actually that's just my name.
If you can't get my name right,
Yeah, and that's nothing against them. It's just like, I'm gonna advocate for myself, and I'm gonna advocate like I need a break here. I can't do that right now. My body will literally fall apart. So yeah, like when you're non-union, especially in regional theater, you really I learned to advocate for myself and really like fight for what I need and know my worth to the producers and to the creative team, because they need me to do what they are envisioning in their head. And I'm just as important to the production as they are. And if I get hurt, they're kind of screwed. So like, it's for the betterment of the team, but like I've learned to make the balance and like advocate for myself nicely and not, be mean about it.
Yeah, not in a divage way.
Yeah.
I
Which
wonder.
is a it's a hard balance, to not be a diva, but also be like, my name is spelled wrong for the third time today, and my leg hurts. Can I not like do something? Like it was, yeah, it was just a great learning experience, as frustrating as it could have been sometimes.
I want to go back a little bit to your college years. So your class of 2019 from University of Michigan and the musical theater program, right? How was your experience at University of Michigan?
It was simultaneously the best and worst time of my life. And worst has nothing to do with the school or anything like that. It was just, I mean, it is a hard program. And I experienced some of the highest highs and lows of my life, with like being away from home for the first time across the country from my family. And like, I was dealing with like anxiety and depression and like finding where I fit. And so that was the hardest part for me. But otherwise, that was the best decision in my that was the best decision of my life, and I wouldn't change it for the world. I went in as a singer who could move well and like thought he could act, but I was like, acting's like my weakest thing. It's fine. Like, it's just like talking. And I became like what I think is a true triple threat. I became like a really strong dancer who, like, I auditioned for the national tour of Newsies when I was a junior in high school. And I mean, if somebody showed me a video, it would be laughable. To 4 years later, it's my junior year of college, and I'm cast in the first regional production doing the original Broadway. Like, that growth for me, I was like, awesome. I've like become the dancer I want to be, and like still more to go, but like that awesome. I've checked that off my box, and I just like looking back have like noticed I grew so much, and I struggled a lot like finding my place as an actor, just because I look very young, I'm short, I like give off like a young energy. So normally in shows I will be like a teen when it comes to like actual roles, and that doesn't exist much. So I often found myself in the ensemble of shows at school, which was an amazing experience. But I was watching my classmates who look older than me, play the leads, because that's just the way it works in college. You're a bunch of kids playing adults. Like, when in the actual industry would a 22-year-old play a 60-year-old like Duchess from England? Like, that is just what we have to do because of the shows that we're given. And so I kind of got beaten down, that I was like, I'm not getting these roles, I'm not a good actor, I'm not like, why are these things not falling into place for me like they are others? And eventually I was just like, you know what, write it out, take your acting classes, do your stuff. And then my senior year, the final show, I was in Sweeney Todd, and I finally got to play a lead, and I was Toby in that, which was a fantastic experience. The show was beautiful. And I took two acting classes back to back in my second semester senior year to, like, I was like, okay, you're graduating. You really need to get it together with your acting. And one day that kind of just, like, something broke through. I was not having a good time in these classes. I was not doing well. I was forgetting lines. I was not making any kind of choices. And then one day I just, like, I woke up and I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to make a choice today, and it could be the wrong choice, but I'm going to just pretend to be a gorilla in the middle of this scene and see what happens. And it and play opened with something it. For me. And it was totally the right choice. And it was the best choice I could have made in that scene. And it just opened something for me that was entirely new. And all of a sudden I was, like, soaring down this acting path that I thought that this door was closed for me. And then getting to, like, put that into Sweeney Todd and actually, like, realize that, like, wow, okay. I thought after high school, when I was playing all these leads in high school and getting to college and playing in the ensemble so much, I thought that door kind of closed for me. I was like, this is going to be my track in the real world. I was like, okay, cool. Like, I've really had a journey in college. And I think that we all go on our own journeys. And, you know, when you're in the thick of it, it sucks. But, like, you look back and you're like, oh, no, that's exactly the journey I went into school wanting. And then, so it is the best school I could have gone to. And I truly cherish every single memory I have there.
I love it. I love it. I do have the best memories of college too. So I know that journey and that, like, growth journey, because I experienced it myself and I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a cool school because we also got, like, it's such a big university. Mm-hmm. We had our conservatory, like, type training on top of, like, the huge university. So we were, like, going to football games and, like, had normal classes and, like, had parties. And it was just, like, it taught us to, like, work hard, play hard. And it was, or rather, play hard, work harder. And that's what we did. That's what we learned in the 4 years. And now, like, that I'm here 2 years out of school, I'm still playing hard and working harder and now enjoying life more. Because I've realized that, like, this is my career. This is a job. It is not my life. And I can, like, play outside and still, you know, memorize a 4-page scene that I have to, like, film in 3 days. there's like bled into real life, which is really cool.
And how have you stayed creative during the pandemic? Because it's taken a big toll in the whole industry.
Yeah. You know, when it first started, I didn't do anything. I was like, I was upset. I was 6 days from my Broadway debut. Mm-hmm. And COVID shut down Broadway. And I was, you know, I just had to go through the stages of grief. I was one of my two roommates left to go home. Like, all of our friends were leaving to go home. And it was just like, okay, do we go home? Do we stay here? It's only a month. That's what they've told us. It's a month. And I was like, I'm going to stay because the show's going to be right back. And then I was at first, like, still trying to, like, transfer my notes into, like, notebooks and, like, everything. And then I kind of just fell off and I was like, nothing's happening. Nothing is happening. And I took that time to just, like, take a break. I have not taken a break from theater since I was 14. I've done, you know, multiple shows at a time. I've done, like, one show a season at school plus the summers since I was 14. So I was like, you know what? I'm done. I'm not singing for anyone. I'm not acting for anyone. I'm not dancing. I don't even have the room to dance, so I'm not gonna do it. Which, you know, that's what makes me happy, is doing all of that stuff. And so that was kind of hard to, like, let all that go for a second. But I'm so glad I did, because then I got to, like, you know, find myself and, like interact with the world differently in a time that, like, nothing is really happening. It was cool to live in the city, one of the fastest cities in the world, in the slowest time in, like, my 24 years on this planet. Like, and I think, looking back at it, as things start to open up more, I think taking a step back from, like, the actual craft of my artistry and experiencing the world was a way of nourishing my art and, like, and myself, and, like, becoming an actor, like, having experiences that I can now, like, pull on, and, like, being just, like, aware of what's here, and, like, not having to, I now, like, can sing for joy again. Even though I don't like my voice sometimes, or, like, it's harder to sing now than it was 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like, I am starting to enjoy it, what I do again, for the sake of I enjoy it, not for that paycheck sounds nice, mm-hmm. even though that is an awesome incentive to do it.
But hey, but your TikTok covers are amazing. Like, oh. I love them.
Thanks. That's a new thing. I don't like posting videos of me singing.
Oh, me neither.
Just because I have, it's like stressful. It's, I posted the first one and I was like, okay, this is coming down now. But I was like, you know what? Just leave it. Just nobody looks at your TikToks anyway. Go just put it away. But I just never take, like, videos of myself singing, because then I watch them over and over. I'm a bit obsessive with, like, any, like, self-tapes or, like, videos that are taken of me. I'm like, ooh, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to learn from it. I'm going to learn. And I'm like, oh, you're flat. Oh, that, what was that? That wrong word? What? And it's just, like, I nitpick every second of it. And then until I just don't like the video. And I'm like, that has to be, like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. And my boyfriend is like, this is incredible. What are you talking about? And I'm like, you have to say that. It's fine. And then it's just, like, a whole thing. But, yeah, I've been, like, challenging myself, like, if I take a video, just post it.
And let the universe take care of it.
Right. And especially if you're putting it on your Instagram story, like, that's 24 hours. It'll be down. And no one will see it ever again. And, like, there's just, like, this huge stigma on TikTok that's, like, people just, like, comment random things. And I've seen people, like, comment vocal notes on people's singing videos, and I'm like, who are you to tell someone that, like, oh, maybe try breathing here, or, like, you're really loud. Like, no, that is not what TikTok is. That is not the right. So, like, that kept me from doing it for a long time. I was like, ooh, people are gonna, like, tell me to sing. Like, I have a 4-year degree from the top musical theater program in the country. What if people, like, are like, ooh, you can't sing? And then I was just like, so what? It's TikTok. I will delete your comment at that point. Yeah. But I was just like, okay, it's time. Get over it.
Let me tell you one thing. I am super self-conscious of either self-tapes or videos of me singing or dancing. But on my senior year of college, on my final showcase, the night we were getting it recorded, guess who decided to fall in the middle of his solo choreography?
Oh, no.
So it's taped. It was a duet. And I was dancing with my partner, and we had a jump. And when I was landing on the jump, I just fell. And it is recorded on 3 different angles from 3 different cameras. And it's the best shot I've ever had. Because I nailed that recovery.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing. It's when you have these little mistakes, it is probably the best thing that could ever happen, because then it becomes so real. And you're like, all right, and that's what it is. And, you know... And always, you always mess up, or, like, you know, quote unquote mess up when it's being recorded.
Yeah,
it could be perfect 100 times before somebody puts a camera on, that is the one time that you will forget a line. You will fall. Yeah. I mean, without fail.
Like, I practiced for a month my barrel turns and my barrel jumps. Until, yes, final showcase, recording session, and I decided to mess it up. And so, for posterity, see, my butt is kissing the ground on that showcase.
But see, you said something important. You decided to mess up. You decided. It was a choice. It was a choice, and we're going with it. And no one can tell us any different.
Yes. I want to move on to Chris Child. I want to know all about that journey from auditions into tech and everything before this hateful virus shut you down and shut your debut.
I mean, it was one of the coolest audition experiences I've ever had. I was literally at my now boyfriend's house because he was in my class at school, and we were just hanging out with some friends. And my current roommate had an audition for Harry Potter. And she was like, yeah, I have an audition coming up this week. And I was like, wait, they're having auditions? I want to audition. That sounds fun. Like, I don't think I fit the show. I'm too tall for the show. I'm technically too tall for the show. Like, the cap is 5'8", and I'm 5'9". So I was like, whatever. And, like, they're very specific on heights. So I was like, I'll just ask my agent if I can, like, go in. And so I emailed him. I was like, hey, like, I kind of want to go in for this show. It sounds really fun. My friends are doing it. I, like, you know, if I don't stand up super straight, I'm 5'8 some days. Like, I think we should just, like, fudge it. And the next morning at 11 a.m., I had an appointment for the next week to read for either Albus or Scorpius, and who are the two leads in the show. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Just ask. And my agent from that point on, he was like, all right, so when you need to be 5'9", you're 5'9". When you need to be 5'8", you're 5'8". Got it? And I was like, excellent. Yes, understood. And so we got to choose if we wanted to audition for Albus or Scorpius. And I didn't really like the Scorpius scene. Just because it's when you first meet him and you're on the train, he doesn't really, like, have much to say. And I was like, I don't even know what to do with this. And so I was like, I'm going to do Albus. He's got, like, monologue. It's very driven. It's dramatic. I'm going to do that. And so I decided, I did that. I, like, learned all my lines. Did I read the play? Yeah. Oh, that's the other thing. I did not read the Harry Potter books until, I think I started them December 2018. It was my first time ever reading them. Yeah, I mean, shocker.
What?
I was in the middle of Goblet of Fire when I started auditioning, and I got the audition, and I stopped reading Goblet of Fire to read Cursed Child because I was like, I have to know what's happening here. And then so I read Cursed Child in a week, and then. It's so good. But yeah, I went into my first audition and I was kind of just like, I wore a green shirt and a long cardigan. And I was like, I am a wizard and you have to accept me here. I was like, I'm not going to dress the part, but like, if you had have given me a wand, I definitely would have fit into Hogwarts right then and there. But yeah, I went in and I did the scene and, it went really well. He gave me some adjustments. I don't know where I got my British accent from, apparently it was really good. I had never had like formal training on a British accent. And then I did the scene twice, and the casting director looks at me, he goes, how tall are you? And I was like, oh God. I was like, I'm 5'8", but like, 5'8". I'm like pushing 5'9", but let's just say 5'8". And he was like, okay, you sure you're not 5'7"? Because to be Albus, you have to, the top is 5'7". Mm-hmm. And I was like, I mean, and then I kind of slouched and I was like,
Let me hunch a little bit.
I was like, do whatever you need at this point to make me shorter. I'll do it. And he was like, okay, awesome. Well, I'll see you again soon. And I was like, you'll see me again soon? What is that? Okay, bye. And I left and I went to see Toy Story 4 because I was like, I have to just not think about what just happened and I need to get my mind off of it. Mm-hmm. And then I got home that night and I bought tickets to the show because it's like something in me knew. I was like, I'm going to have a callback for this, I think. I need to see this show. It felt right to see the show. And then so I saw the show a week later, and then I went home. I bought tickets to go home and like visit my family, and because I hadn't seen them since May. And we bought them, and then like the next day, I got a call back for Harry Potter, and it was a movement call back on the day I was supposed to be flying out to go home. And so we had to change our ticket. I ended up flying on the same day, but I was like, I literally did the dance audition and then left from the dance audition to go to the airport. I brought my suitcase and everything. I was like, here we go. And that dance audition was one of the hardest things I've ever done. And it's not like a dancey show, but it's such a rhythmic show. And yeah. The movement is so precise, and like some of the songs are in 9/8 and some of them are in 5 and some of them are in 7. And you're just like, can you count? The answer is no. we got into rehearsals and they were like, cool, we're in 7. And like, he said it about 5 times. He's like, we are in 7. Remember, we're in 7. Don't forget, we're in 7. The music started, we were all counting in 4. We were just like fully just not, we were like, okay, so can we just listen and you count it, please? It's difficult music. But so yeah, I had that dance audition and I went home and I was like, I think that's the end. Like, I don't really know what's going to happen for this. And then about 4 days later, I got an email while I was visiting my old high school for the first time since I had graduated college. I was visiting with one of my teachers and I literally got an email saying I got a second callback for Albus to come back in and read more for him. And do a, was it a second movement call? Yeah, it was a second movement call. I had a second movement call and a second Albus callback in the same day. And then so I did the little gig, a little dance again, and like a different challenges and stuff that they had us doing. And then I did my scene. And they were like, awesome, thank you. That was on a Tuesday. Mind you, I'm moving apartments during this time. I mean, like in the midst of the summer in the city, I am moving. And so I had finished my audition. I come home and I move some stuff and I rent a zip car to go to Target with my roommate. And I get a phone call on the way to Target saying, hey, would you want to read for Scorpius as well as Albus? And I was like, oh, yeah, sure, awesome. And he was like, okay, cool, I'll let them know. Also, they want to see you fly, so I'm gonna schedule you for that too. And I was like, fly, like in an airplane? And he was like, no, like they're gonna Glinda? Get you on some he's like, no, where they're gonna like have a flying session with you, we're gonna put you in the wires and they're just gonna like see how you fly. And I was like, okay, awesome.
They don't teach you that anywhere, not in high school, not in college.
No, that is not something you just like learn to do. That's circus school, and I did not do that. But I was like, okay, I was like, I hope this is like a teaching experience and not like we're gonna strap you in and see what you can do. And so that was on a Tuesday. My Scorpius callback was on Thursday. And they gave me 8 pages of sides to learn. One of them being the library scene, which is very, dense for Scorpius. He has like monologue after monologue after monologue. He's like so upset about all this stuff. I mean, it runs the gamut of like emotion and everything. And then I got the one scene I didn't want to do from the initial audition packet. So I got that on a Tuesday night. I had to like be prepared on Thursday for that. But at the same time, on Monday of this week, I had gotten a callback or an audition for Cats the Musical. On Thursday at 10 a.m. was my Cats audition. At 1:30 or 2 was my Scorpius callback. Cats wanted me to learn 15 pages of music that I may or may not sing. And then I had to learn the 8 pages of Scorpius. And so I literally was like, I emailed my agent. I was like, should I cancel Cats? Should I not go to this? And he was like, no, I think that would look very bad. Andy Blinkenbuehler is going to be there. You should go. And I was like, okay, cool. And I went and I got cut immediately. I was like, awesome. I have time to go take a shower. That's all I cared about at this point. And like, so on top of Cats, on top of moving, on top of getting these 8 pages, I somehow memorized all 8 pages, but I was like, I'm not putting these papers down. There's no way. It has been 24 hours. They're just going to have to deal with it. And I walked into the audition room and, or the waiting room, and I'm sitting there and I met someone who was now on the cast with me, but he was like, are you auditioning for Hermione? And I was like, yes. Yes, I am. it was weird. I was like, I can't believe yourself for being serious, but I'm just going to go along with this joke. And he is the Albus cover. And then I'm the Scorpius cover now. And then I met some of the people who are actually in the show from year 2 auditioning to actually like take over some of the roles they covered in the year 3 cast. And I saw one of my friends who I knew that was in the show. And then I went in to do my 2 scenes, and the director asked me, he was like, so how was your day today? And I was like, honestly, Jimmy, I'm really tired. I just did a Cats dance call. And he was like, you did what? And I was like, yes. Not 3 hours ago, I was pretending to be a cat in a junkyard. And now I'm a wizard. How are you? And then I walked out of that room and I was like, awesome. I've done the best work I can. And I'm going home. I'm going to sleep. This has been a crazy 3 days. And then the next Monday, I was scheduled to go fly, which was truly just like I went to the middle of nowhere, Brooklyn. I was like an hour train ride from where I live in like Warehouse City. And I walked into this circus warehouse. They literally have circus classes. And like there were people like hanging from the ceiling on like silk ropes and like hula hoops. And they're like, are you here for Harry Potter? And I was like, yes. And they were like, okay, cool. So you're going to go to the back area. And like behind this curtain, they had these people working for, that work for Foy, which is the flying company on Broadway. And they're like, hey, we're going to teach you to fly. And then literally hooked me up, hoisted me like 10 feet in the air. And he's like, okay, cool. Do a backflip. And I was like,
do it what?
How? It was so silly, and it wasn't like something they can just like teach you to do. They're just literally like, we have to hoist you up in the air to teach you to do any of this. And just spent 30 minutes like learning how to do backflips and like learned this like sequence where we like will swim. And he was like, I'm going to take you up really high. And I was like, okay, I'm not afraid of heights. And like, I guess I have like figured out that is more what it was for, is to see if you're like willing to flip yourself, or like not really your ability, but like if you're just willing to like go for it. Because in the show we fly 40 feet in the air, and so if you could do 15, he was like, we're gonna take you to 40 someday. Yeah, and then I left that, and then I got a work session at the theater. It was my final audition, but I didn't know it was my final one. I showed up to the theater in the middle of the day. And I was memorizing all like this one scene, and I just worked on it in the rehearsal room above the theater, and they filmed it, and that was it. I went about my weekend. This was like Labor Day weekend, I think. That was on like a Thursday, and then I saw Frozen that weekend, because my from college was in it, and then one of my other friends from the summer show I did was on for Olaf that night. And I was like, I'm gonna go see this show. And then while I was at the show, I got an email from a friend asking me to do this like little reading in Connecticut, and I would have to like go there for a week. And I was like, let me ask my agent if I am like even available to like go, because I don't know what Harry Potter's doing. And like, I think it was Friday or Saturday, and I was like, hey, can I go do this thing, or is it going to conflict with anything that Harry Potter wants? And he was like, oh, Harry Potter's done. At this point, it's a waiting game, so you can do whatever you want to do. And I was like, oh, cool, I'm done. Awesome. This is okay. And like having a full existential crisis at intermission of Frozen the Musical on Broadway. And so then that was ice Friday or Saturday. And then Tuesday morning, I woke up. I was taking a nap and my phone went off and woke me up. It was an unknown number. I answered it and it was my agent calling me and saying, hey, they want you to cover Scorpius on Broadway. And I was like, yes! I think all I could say, I literally was like, okay, cool, okay. Like I just couldn't say anything but okay. I was like, yeah, okay. What? It didn't set in for a while. But yeah, that's the long version of that story. But it took place from July 2019 until the first week of September was my whole audition process.
And you were going to Hogwarts on September.
Yeah.
Literally on
Yeah.
September.
Oh my God. Yes. My letter literally came. Wow.
Yeah,
I
your
never
letter
put two and two
came.
together. Awesome. And then I think I finished the books soon after that, like in October, November. And they're incredible, by the way. If anyone hasn't read them, you should read them. Don't be like me. Don't wait. They're so good. But yeah, and then I guess that was the long audition story, but from then on, I got the show in September. We didn't start rehearsals until January, so I had 4 months that I couldn't tell anyone that
Anything.
I couldn't tell anyone that I was doing the show, anything. I was just like, I'm doing a show. I will be. And I mean, I told people, like, who doesn't? But yeah, and then we started rehearsals in January, and I think I got my script in October. Oh my God, I forgot about the like 12-hour day that I was just trying on clothes for the show in the middle of December. I mean, that was the coolest day ever. We were in robes. We were in, I mean, every single costume I wear in that show, and I'm a swing. I cover seven people in the show, so I have like, I think I have the mo I might have the most costumes in the show. I have like 37 pieces I wear. Like throughout, I mean, it's absurd, but yeah, and then we had that. I got my script like beginning of December, and then didn't start until January, and then we rehearsed for 6 weeks in a studio. We learned, I mean, technically we're learning two different shows, and so we had a 2 month rehearsal process, which is not normal. It's usually 2 to 3 weeks, but we had a full 2 months. We had 6 weeks in the studio, 2 weeks in the studio and in tech. Because we could only tech on Thursdays, Fridays, and oh, that might have been it. That might be it. Tuesdays. We had Tuesdays because there's no shows on Tuesdays. But yeah, so we only had 3 days a week that we could actually tech the show. So it took a minute. And then the day we finished teching the show was the day the COVID shutdown happened. We were at lunch break, and we had like 3 hours, 2, 3 hours of rehearsal left. And at lunch break, the news came out, and they were like, "Okay, we're having a meeting. Yes, we're closing for a month. We'll have another meeting after rehearsal. Let's finish teching the show." And it was a nice button. It was really sad. We never got the stage bows or anything like that, but we made it to the very last line of the show. It's completely teched with the year three cast. which is very exciting, even though we're gonna have to do it all over again.
But it's gonna be amazing when everyone's back. Like, it's going to be really amazing.
The energy in that theater, I cannot imagine what it's gonna be like that night. I mean, I feel stupid saying this. It's gonna be magical. I mean, I can only imagine what is gonna happen when these shows open back up on Broadway, and like the energy, and like, I mean, the tears, the happiness, people are getting their jobs back. Mm-hmm. People are getting live theater back. I mean, it's going to be amazing. Such an exciting and special night.
Yeah. Before we go, now that you've confessed that you read the books late, but you love them, I always play a little game with guests, but with you, I changed it. I'm going to do a Harry Potter edition of the game, not a musical theater edition. So.
How exciting.
Transfiguration or Herbology?
Oh, Transfiguration.
Okay. Charms or Defense Against the Dark Arts?
Defense Against the Dark Arts.
Divination or Ancient Runes?
I've never been a languages person, so divination.
Love it. Okay. Albus or Scorpius?
Oh, God. Scorpius.
Really?
I play him.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, honestly, that makes sense. Granger or Weasley?
Granger.
Yes. Team Fred or Team George?
Oh, jeez. Fred. I think I'm going to go with Fred.
Okay. Voldemort or Umbridge?
Which one do I like better? Umbridge. Which one is worst? Maybe Umbridge, to be honest.
Of course, Umbridge. Voldemort.
Yeah, I mean, Umbridge is just fully the worst. She has no agenda. At least Voldemort has an agenda and knows what he's doing. She's just like, I hate everyone for absolutely no reason. She's a terror.
Yeah. Animagus or werewolf?
Animagus.
Yes. Broom or apparition?
Apparition. It's faster.
Okay. Order of the Phoenix or Death Eaters?
Order of the Phoenix.
Order of the Phoenix or Dumbledore's Army?
Dumbledore's Army.
Yes. Favorite spell?
That's not my favorite spell. I was going to say Crucio, but that's really bad. No, I think it's Alohomora, as basic as that is.
I love it. And final question, favorite character?
Luna.
I love her!
Yeah,
she's not my favorite, but she's awesome.
Yeah, I love Luna. It's either Luna or Cedric, I think. I kind of like the underdogs.
Nice. Well, Spencer, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. It was so fun.
I loved this whole conversation. Like, from Potterhead to Potterhead, I loved it.
Me too. I know I've not read the books like throughout my whole life, but I am such a Potterhead. I grew up going to Universal and like Harry Potter World and everything, and like watching the movies. I was just late on the books, but like that goes to show you don't have to be a Potterhead to be in Harry Potter on Broadway. Yes. So everyone, go live your dreams.
Yeah. Where can people find you on social media?
I'm only on Instagram. Well, I guess and TikTok. But they're both Spencer_LARUE.
Oh, your connection kind of broke. So that would be, where can people find you?
Yeah, my Instagram and my TikTok are both @Spencer_LaRue.
Awesome. Yeah. I will be tagging.
I don't do that. I don't know how to tweet. I had it for like a hot second in high school, and that was a mess. So I got off of there.
Well, I will be for sure tagging your account on the podcast description. Spencer, thank you so much for being here. It's been a real pleasure. And I know you will get that Broadway debut soon.
Soon, soon. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks everyone for listening to this new episode of Backstage Talk. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Backstage Talk Podcast.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.